We also welcome to our pulpit today. I'll start again. We also welcome to our pulpit today Andrew Fleet, who is from the Methodist Church at Raw Wood and Bassett and other churches I've been hearing. We also welcome his wife Fiona, wherever Fiona is. Oh, lovely. Sorry, Fiona, I didn't realise you joined in choir. That's good. I needn't come over there now, perhaps. I think all the notices are as in weekly news. Our readers today is Mike Gordon, and our prayers of intercession will be taken by Liz Gibney. Now I'll light the Christ candle and then the peace candle, after which we will begin our service.
Good morning. And it's good to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus as we gather together in this place to worship him. Our thanks to the choir and to Jeffrey who sang those words, "We are one in the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit is here this morning as we gather to worship him. Paul writes in Romans, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If one gift is prophecy, use it in proportion to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If your gift is encouraging, then encourage." And also in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." We stand and we sing together, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring." Let's stand and worship God together. We come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, it is good to be together here this morning to worship you. Our gracious, heavenly Sovereign, our Redeemer, we come to you in praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done. We give thanks for the blessings in our lives, the times of joy and inspiration. But most of all, we give thanks that you walk with us in the times of sadness, the times when things seem dark, when the going is tough. We pray this morning that you will indeed help us to build each other up, one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We delight in the gift of your Holy Spirit, through whom your grace flows, and by that grace we know peace and joy beyond words. Heavenly Father, as we come now, we know that we must come to you just as we are. But we also know that we cannot go away just as we came. Again and again we have known failure in our lives and in our choices and in our relationships and in the way that we treat each other. We've known failure in the way in which we misuse our bodies, our homes, and your world. We have sinned against you. Forgive our sin as we confess it this morning, we pray. Lord God, we've tried to be open and honest as we confess these offences to you. In your extravagant love, you have forgiven us. And yet we know, Lord, simply to be forgiven is not enough. For unless we are changed and made new, we will do these same things again. So, Lord, we acknowledge this morning our total dependence on you. We pray by your grace, make us into the people that you meant us to be right from the very beginning, that we might even now find and rejoice in that purpose that you have for our lives. You are the source of all that is good and right. We magnify your name. As we have lit our peace candle this morning, so we remember you are the source of peace, new life and love. And so we worship you as we say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. On the photocopied sheet that you have is our next hymn, Jesus, my strength, my hope, on thee I cast my care. With humble confidence look up, and know thou hearest my prayer. Let's stand and sing. Mike is coming forward to bring to us the Word of God. And in the reading he has from Acts, we learn how the early church was one and united, supporting one another. And then in the reading from Hebrews, the writer urges us to persevere in our faith, not just as a belief, but in the way in which we live our lives and care for others. Mike brings to us the word.
There are two readings this morning, and the first one is from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. And the second one is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Peter and John were challenged by the rulers, elders, and scribes, and all who were of the high priestly family assembled in Jerusalem. By what power, or by what name do you do this? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The rulers had nothing to say in opposition, so they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was placed upon them all. There was not one needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And from Hebrews chapter 10, therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
The choir will now sing some verses from Rejoice and Sing, number 273, as the anthem this morning. Fairest Lord Jesus, Lord of all creation. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that you will take my lips, and the words that I speak may be of you. Lord God, I pray that we may all open our hearts, that we may hear what you are saying to us through your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, worry weighs a person down, but encouragement cheers a person up. Worry weighs a person down, but encouragement cheers a person up. And in our reading that Mike brought to us from Hebrews, we read the words, and let us consider how we can spur each other on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and the more so as you see the day is approaching. I wonder how good you are at encouraging others. There's a character in the Bible called Joseph. Not the Joseph who was the son of Jacob who had the multicoloured coat. Not the Joseph who was betrothed to Mary, who was betrothed to Mary who bore Jesus. Not even the Joseph of Arimathea who provided a tomb for Christ's body. But this Joseph was in our reading from Acts. Did you spot him? Joseph the Levite, who lived in Cyprus and owned land, and who in the days of the early church, when the church in Jerusalem was struggling, where there was a famine across the land and people were starving, he sold his land. And he gave the profit to the church in Jerusalem so that they might eat. As we learnt from Acts, that Joseph was given a new name by the early church. Barnabas, son of encouragement, because he was the sort of chap who used his God-given gifts to encourage others. It was Barnabas who encouraged Paul, travelling with him on his first missionary journey. First to Cyprus, where no doubt he introduced him to all his friends, and then across what is today Asia Minor, bringing the name of the Lord Jesus to those who'd never heard the gospel. So, 3 years later, what does Paul write in his church to Thessalonica? Therefore, encourage one another, he says, and build one another up in faith. One of the features of the early New Testament church was the real spirit of encouragement. They really did share one another's burdens, and they shared one another's joys. So what about us? Do we spur each other on in Christian living? Do we encourage one another as a church in acts of love and kindness? And do we continue to meet with one another to that end? How encouraging are you? When were you last encouraged by another person? Encouragement cheers a person up. Literally, it breathes courage into their soul. It's like oxygen to the soul. So what really is encouragement? It's the act of putting you in good heart, of giving people courage. And in the same way, discouragement is the act of taking away the heart and taking away the courage of a person. And we've probably all known people that have done that to us. Jesus was the greatest of encouragers, wasn't he? Read the Gospels. He coaxed his disciples. He gave them a second chance. He built them up together. He showed compassion towards them. And it culminated in his sacrificial death on the cross. God had that one act of raising Jesus from the dead, the greatest act of encouragement that you could possibly imagine, which has encouraged us as a church today. And Jesus told his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16, in this world you will have trouble. Well, that's not very encouraging, is it? In this world you will have trouble. In fact, he said the world will hate you as Christians. Jesus, the greatest encourager, didn't shy away from reality, telling his followers that they would face trouble. But he went on to give the greatest encouragement possible. He said in John 16, verse 33, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Be of good hope. Be of good cheer. Because the death of Jesus was not the end and is not the end for the followers of Jesus. Jesus is greater than any trouble we may face. And that is the encouragement that we are asked to share. Without encouragement in hardship, our wills will wane and our faith will decrease. Our struggles are against spiritual powers of darkness, Paul writes in Ephesians. Spiritual forces from the heavenly realm. Evil spirits that there are in this world. We live in a broken world, don't we? Don't we? But encouraged in Christ, we have the strength to put on the armour of God and remain steadfast. There's an old legend that is told about a man who got lost one day in a dark forest. And he wandered around getting increasingly lost, until he found an imposing barn in the middle of the forest. And he felt it would be a good place to shelter both from the darkness and from the howling wind. His eyes became quickly accustomed to the dark. And as he looked around, he was amazed to discover that the barn was where the devil kept his storehouse of seeds. Bags and bags of seeds. And he lit a match and he looked at all the different types of seed. These were seeds that were sown in the hearts of human beings. Most of them, surprisingly, he noticed, were labelled seeds of discouragement. Just then, as he was looking at these seeds, one of the devil's helpers arrived. He was coming to pick a new load of seed to take them out into the world. And the man asked him, why are there are so many seeds of discouragement? And the helper laughed and he replied, well, he said, because they're so effective. Seeds of discouragement quickly, quickly, quickly take root and they grow. Do they grow everywhere? The man asked. To which the helper suddenly grimaced back and said with disgust, no, they never grow in the heart that is grateful. Now we know that all discouragement is not down to ingratitude. But gratitude towards God has an undeniable power and positive effect on us when we go through difficult times. As Christians, we're called to firstly take nothing for granted. Secondly, to receive everything that we have with gratitude to God. And thirdly, to pass on encouragement with grace. But hold on, I hear you say. Surely you can be an encourager without being a Christian. And that's true. But encouragement in the Lord takes on a new meaning. In that verse that I quoted at the beginning of the service, there is a spiritual gift of encouragement that Paul writes about. He says, if your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is encouragement, then encourage. And what do we read in Hebrews? And let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do we do that? Are we really encouraging one another in the Lord Jesus daily? Are we thinking about how God has called us to transform worry and fear into encouragement? Writing to Timothy, Paul speaks about encouragement to the young Timothy. He says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of love and self-control." And then he said to Timothy, "Fan that flame into full flame. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power and love and self-discipline." Encouragement in the Lord is a spiritual gift. It's listed in the New Testament as a spiritual gift. It has the power of transformation, to build up faith, to give the believer new heart in Jesus. It is of God. And do you know what the word for encouragement is in Greek? It's parakletos. Parakletos, which means to exhort and encourage, to come alongside a person with the power of the Holy Spirit with you. And how is the Holy Spirit described in Greek? The paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. Encouragement is parakletos. So we come alongside one another in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own power, to encourage one another, to encourage us to worship together, to encourage us to study God's word together. How some believers are particularly gifted in the gift of encouragement. Barnabas in the New Testament was a classic example. Encouraging, coming alongside people, giving them that sense of joy at times when they're down. And the word parakletos, encouragement, means to both encourage and exhort. Encouragement is a sort of hang in there, you can do this, I'm praying for you. Exhortation is a sort of be careful, you could get into trouble if you go that way. And the truth is that Christian encouragement includes both encouragement and exhortation. A true concern for the person and allowing the Holy Spirit to correct and to guide. Listen to what Hebrews says again, and let us consider, how can we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is approaching. We should be encouraging one another day by day by day, but the writer of Hebrews says the day is approaching. What is the day? Well, the day is described in the book of Revelation as a time when Jesus will return to this earth, a time when the earth will be shaken and the nations will be shaken. But the value of God's kingdom, of truth and love and joy and integrity and unselfishness, will stand firm. The day is coming, says the Lord, the day of reckoning. Do you see how encouragement and gratitude to God, gratitude in our heart that we have as followers of Jesus, needs to be reinforced within us and as a mutual act among us? To protect us from the deceitfulness of sin. To protect us at time when all around in the world seems broken and is shaking. to reinforce our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to enable him to come to us and through us to share his compassion and love and justice in a world that's broken. I want to finish with just a couple of examples. I went to a funeral on Monday. It was a funeral of the most wonderful, modest man of faith. He'd been a teacher in schools for most of his life, and he had encouraged the children and he'd encouraged his fellow teachers. He'd been a preacher in the church for over 50 years and he'd encouraged his congregations and he taught them Bible faith. He had a faithful family and he encouraged three generations within his family. He'd led fellowship groups and Bible studies and trained other preachers with modesty and with patience and with care and with insights into God's word. There may even be someone here who knows him because he's Vernon Moger. And he was described by his son in the eulogy at the funeral as a Barnabas, a son of encouragement, because he'd lived his life in the footsteps of Jesus and so had become a true encourager. I wonder whether our epitaph will be a son or a daughter of encouragement. And then finally, when I retired from being a head teacher a few years ago, I went to work for Barnabas Fund, the charity that works with persecuted Christians right across the world. And we worked in over 80 countries where Christians are being persecuted. We're supporting pastors and churches where the state and authorities and political groups vilified and ostracized Christians and even burnt down churches. We worked with Christians who were discriminated against and were denied food and means of support. We worked to support families of Christians who were imprisoned for their faith. We sent food and funds for food and clothes. We sent funds for church buildings and orphanages and camps. We supported children whose parents had been killed because they were Christians. And most importantly, we rallied prayer for our Christian brothers and sisters across the world, who, even as we sit here this morning, are being persecuted for their faith. We have it easy. But beware, the way in which our society is moving, persecution of Christians is growing in this country too. And one of the most lovely things was to go into the office at Barnabas Fund and receive the letters back and the emails from the Christians we supported. They were so thankful. They were so grateful. Above all, they were grateful for our prayers. It wasn't just what we gave to them. It was the prayers that we prayed for them. Why? Because it encouraged them in their faith. And there were so many wonderful examples of Christians who had been really vilified and yet stood up for the Lord Jesus and continued in their faith and continued in their worship and continued reading the Bible and continued in prayer. A powerful message to me. How will you use gifts of encouragement to build up your brothers and sisters in Christ? Who will you speak to this week? Who will you pray for this week? Who will you email this week? Who will you encourage this week? How will you meet and get alongside someone who needs encouragement at this time? And in the name of Jesus, demonstrate Jesus' love. Worry weighs a person down, but encouragement cheers a person up. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, show us in this next week how we can encourage one another, not only in life generally, but in our trust in the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, work in our relationships as you equip us to be encouragers in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing the number 500, Jesus United by Thy Grace, and I will particularly draw your attention to verse 2. Help us to help each other, Lord, each other's cross to bear. Let all their friendly aid afford and feel each other's care. That's about encouragement. Be seated. A member of our prayer team is coming to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Nelson Mandela once said that peace is not just the absence of conflict. It is the creation of an environment where all can flourish. And before that, Mahatma Gandhi said, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. In our prayers of intercession today, I want to focus on some of the conflicts that hold us back from living in a peaceful world and to recognise the fact that prayer is one way of coping with the fact that conflict, one way or another, is a fact of life. Let us pray. Around the world, there are many conflicts, wars or violent differences. From the war in Ukraine, the civil unrest in Russia itself, civil war in countries such as Afghanistan, Central African Republic, Ethiopia, Libya, Mali, Somalia, South Sudan and Syria, China's aggression towards Taiwan, the rioting in France, the list goes on. In most of these cases, we feel helpless, but you, Lord, care for each and every person involved in these conflicts. Your love extends across the globe, your heart breaking for each and every life that is wrecked. And yet there are often glimmers of hope and of love. Small things can make big differences. We pray for all caught up in conflicts that they might be able to show love in the darkness. We pray that we too can learn to live in a peaceful way, respecting the differences of others and sharing what we have rather than envying what our neighbours own. We pray for justice that will bring confidence and a road to peace. We pray for actions to follow prayer. There are many conflicts in the way we live in our world. We know that we have abused the resources we have been given. We know that the future of our lives has to be different and indeed will be different. Help us in wise stewardship of your gifts to not simply live for today, stealing our children's heritage, their diversity and their hope. We need to be mindful of the choices we make in preserving the future of your world. Often we are conflicted in that there seems to be no easy or straightforward choices, certainly none without cost. Give us wisdom to make good choices for the future, for your world. May our prayers translate into actions. We pray for those who work in science and technology. They often face conflicts in making ethical decisions. There seems so much that we could do, but sometimes we have to ask, should we? Guide individuals away from selfish or arrogant ways of working, encouraging them to listen to the voice that asks, is this fair? Is this safe? Is this true? And is this God's work? O Lord, we pray for wisdom and integrity. Let our prayer lead to positive actions. We pray for those who have struggles within their homes and families. Whether it is a shortage of money, a lack of time, or inadequate support. Comfort those who are sick, whether they are physically, emotionally, or mentally ill. For the long days ahead, filled with despair, loneliness, or hardship, we pray for your intervention to bring calm and peace. Help us to see where help is needed and arm us with the love to share. We pray silently for those we know who need your strength today. Lord, may our prayers lead to actions. We remember our sister church in Highworth. This is a time of great change for them and one that could easily create conflict between individuals. May open discussion and consultation keep your people together as they face new challenges along their journey. And may we help and welcome the congregation as they move to new ways of being a church within the community of Highworth. Teach us to listen to your still, small voice of calm. We pray for the desire to deal with differences within our own church, for we all have the ability to make choices and minds to consider options. It is our God-given human nature that we will see things from different perspectives. It is what makes us a vibrant community, a vibrant group, that we can have different opinions, that it is a small step to becoming a discordant, fragmented church if we do not recognise and respect our differences. We ask that you might bless us with open minds and hearts so that we can work through our problems in love. Although it is the human condition to have disagreements or opposing ideas, it is the godly condition to be able to steer a course through our differences. In our pursuit of peace, we need to take action to turn away from self-interest and fix our eyes on making an environment that will enable all to flourish, regardless of sex, nationality, colour, class, religion, or way of living. We need to learn from our past experiences and to trust in you, Lord. Give us the strength to do those small things that can change lives. In the name of Jesus, Amen.
And so we bring our gifts to God as the offertory is taken. Father God, we give thanks to you for all the goodness that you have put into this world and of which we are a part and which we share. We pray, Father, that as we bring these gifts, this small offering to you, Father, that we may use these gifts to encourage one another. But more than that, that we may use these gifts to touch the community with our encouragement. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we say together the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Thank you for allowing my wife and I to be with you today. It's been a pleasure and a joy to join with you in worship. And so we sing together our closing hymn. And as a good Methodist, of course, it's a Charles Wesley hymn. Jesus, Lord, we look to thee. Let us in thy name agree. Show thyself the Prince of Peace. Bid our jarring conflicts cease. Those conflicts we've just been praying for. 564. We stand and sing. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity amongst ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and with one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his love, go out to share love. In his peace, go out to spread peace. In his hope, go and encourage all those you meet in the glory of the resurrection and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And in this, we will all know his blessing. Amen.